Well, it's so great to know that the Lord deserves all our thanks and praise that we're filling the sanctuary with and taking our lives throughout the week. Give Him thanks for every good thing you have because it came from Him. And I was struck by the last part of that gospel message from the book of John when the Pharisees got frustrated and they said, "Look, this is getting us nowhere. The whole world has gone after Him." Sometimes, even if you're angry with God, like those fellows were, and didn't know what they were talking about, they come up with some truth. And perhaps they were talking about all of us here, you and I. Look, the whole world went after Jesus. Wouldn't that be great if that were true about you and I? And the praises, what struck me also about Palm Sunday, just thinking about it, was the praises offered to Christ that day. Did you know they were imperfect praises? People were praising Him almost for the wrong reason. They were just praising Him, hoping some good things would happen in a certain way. And He didn't say, "Oh, you're getting it all wrong, you know. Be quiet. You don't know what you're giving thanks about, after all." No, He didn't say that. He received every one of those praises, imperfect as it was. And because they were out of a heart of perhaps desperation. Hosanna, God save us. So Jesus comes into Jerusalem on a rescue mission for you, for the people around you, for the whole world. And I remember receiving a symbol of Palm Sunday leading up to the cross and resurrection. You get a palm branch after church today. And if someone could teach you, I can't, but if someone could teach you how to make that palm branch into a cross, someone did that for me. And I kept that palm branch cross for a number of years, just remembering the great week that Jesus committed to in changing the world, changing lives. How wonderful He is to us today. He rode into the city of Jerusalem. I want to focus in on that with you today. Jerusalem in the Bible, the name means the city of peace. And if you know anything about Jerusalem, it's been anything but a city of peace for as long as people can remember. And yet Jesus comes, and the people are excited. They want peace. They want victory over problems. Mostly they want victory over the government that is a pain to them. They want victory over Rome and the outward circumstances of their life. You and I, often we want God's peace concerning things that are around us. For some of you, the Romans are the government itself. Lord, just get the government off our back and we'll just be happy as a lark. For some folks, the Romans are people in their own family, perhaps that they cannot love or get along with. For others, it's people in the neighborhood. For some, it's their work. And when we pray for the Romans, we often pray, "Lord, get them. Get them, Lord." That's a part of maybe what was going on in the people's lives when they shouted Hosanna to Jesus. But He would offer them something much greater than victory over the Romans. He would offer them peace and victory over themselves, their sin, and death and hell. And one of the things I like to do as a pastor is check out other Christians and watch them, observe them, in order to learn something. And I've observed that often the most healthy believers that I know are those who are walking in the peace of God that He came to bring and walking in the forgiveness of sins that Christ won for us that Easter week. And it's a wonderful gift, the peace of God and the forgiveness of sins. In addition to those who walk in it in a healthy manner, I know that almost every believer struggles with those gifts. We're clumsy with them. We don't do them very well. We're not normally filled with peace in our hearts and just antsy and itching to pass on forgiveness to other people. That's not in our makeup. I was watching some little kids play the other day, playing putt-putt golf. And they didn't even start to play yet. They were, I think, 5 and 6. And one of them was already saying, "I'm ahead of you, and you're behind me, and don't hit me with your club." And they didn't even get into the game yet. The peace of God, coming to the city of peace. Ask yourself, what makes receiving God's peace so hard for you? and the forgiveness. Once a committed Christian faced a lot of difficulties in his life. He was a soldier in the military during the Vietnam War. So he went to fight, and he was in a lot of combat. He had to kill or be killed. And this was very sad for him, but he did it out of sense of honoring and protecting his fellow soldier and his country. And after the war is over, he was haunted by the imperfections in his own life and some of the things that he saw. He asked himself, who did he kill? Did they have family? Which of his fellow soldiers died because he did not protect them in the most perfect way in combat itself? There was a Christian chaplain who went to see him, Dr. Bill Wilson, who's a Christian psychiatrist. The man was in a VA hospital. And he sat with the man and listened and talked. And he said to the man about the burdens of his heart, you know, whether real or just put on him by himself. He said to the man, I tell you that because of Jesus, your sins are forgiven. And the man said, what did you say? He said, I tell you on the authority of Jesus and because of what he did for you, your sins are forgiven. And for that man, it was a breakthrough in his heart. He began to feel the peace of God in his life. He came to peace with himself and the memories he had. And he began to walk with God in a fresh and new way. This morning, what burdens you have against yourself or perhaps a difficulty with other people, Christ would come because of the cross and say to you, do you need to hear it? I tell you, your sins are forgiven, though they are many. And Christ would bring that peace to your heart that you could have. Since we are put right with God through faith, the Bible says, we have peace with Him through our Lord Jesus Christ. If someone could open your heart today, you could do a physical exam, but what about a spiritual exam? If the Holy Spirit would allow you to look in there and how you're doing with God, would they say that is, there's peace there. There's forgiveness there. Christ would come to the city of peace. He would make the physical Jerusalem something greater, a spiritual Jerusalem in your heart. He can make your heart the city of peace. And the Lord would offer that to us today. One of the great things about God's peace and forgiveness is this. The more we're grateful for God's peace and forgiveness, the more we're likely to do the difficult task of forgiving others. The more we're grateful, if you could write that as a commentary next to Colossians 3:13. Colossians 3:13 says, forgive as God forgave you. The more grateful you and I are for the forgiveness of Christ, the forgiveness He brings and peace with God, the more likely we will be to forgive others. And converse is true also. That's very scary, and it's a deadly illness when we do this. When we are not grateful for the peace of God or for the forgiveness of sins, when we are not grateful, we are most likely to become unforgiving and unmerciful our own selves. And at that point, there's no peace in Jerusalem until Jesus would come and be allowed to dwell fully there. So like the soldier, you have been wounded in life. No doubt, people have taken shots at you. Maybe others have failed to protect you when you needed protection. And you are mortally wounded. This is what happens to us in life. And we acknowledge that when we pray together at the beginning of church. We pray the Lord's Prayer. We say, Lord, forgive us our debts. We forgive our debtors. And more realistically, perhaps we pray, Lord, forgive us our debts. We are thinking about forgiving those who have debts against us. There's a wonderful song about passing on the gospel. It says, I love to tell the story. I love to tell the story of Jesus and His love. When we don't thank the Lord for peace and forgiveness, we end up singing another song. I love to tell the story. I love to tell the story of the hurts of my past that continue to burden me and weigh me down. For some people, telling that story is much easier than telling the story of Jesus and His love. And Christ recognizes the brokenness there. Often it's hard to even define ourselves without speaking of the hurts of the past. And we carry them around almost as a badge of honor. God brings healings to those hurts, but to cling to the hurt as if that was all of who we are would be to miss the scars of Christ offered on Good Friday for you and I. When I was in one of my classes growing up, I had a teacher who gave me a very bad grade. And I thought I didn't deserve that. So kind of wiped me out. And I had a hard time forgiving that teacher. I thought he was unfair and treated me very unjustly. Never mind, I had 7 or 8 great teachers that year who treated me just terrific. They were kind and loving and merciful. My heart focused in on that which was bad and that which was hurtful. I carried that around for a number of years. If you ask me about the school I went to, it was almost like I never failed to mention the guy who gave me the D minus. I just had to bring it up. It was a part of who I was. It took me about 5 years to forget his name. You know, there's a blessing in forgetting. You forget the name, you forget the pain, eventually. But it wasn't until God helped me practice that forgiveness that He so freely offered me that I felt set free. The past looked different. I could speak about it without clenching my fist and grinding my teeth and telling the story of some sin against me, but rather tell the story of Christ. Oh, he loves me. He loves others, the people in your life. If you would turn to the Lord and He'd offer you, He'd offer you your heart to be a city of peace, a city of forgiveness. He would even forgive you for your unforgiveness. You carry around like a chip on your shoulder and drag it into every relationship you have. That's so easy to do. Christ would come and say, I'll bring peace. And my forgiveness will be there. And the cross that Jesus went to and the love He showed will begin to mean more to you than all the sins against you or all the sins you've committed against the Lord yourself. And you're set free as a child of His. What a wonderful offer of peace. God would get that 50-pound weight off your back and say, thank you, Lord, for you. Help me to begin to walk into the great work you completed on my behalf when you went to the city of peace, Jerusalem. Some believers also, we often love to talk about the world and how bad and evil it is. And it is very bad and evil. Very bad and evil. But the bad and evil of the world never stopped Jesus from going to the cross and offering peace with God and the forgiveness of sins. And as you face whatever difficult time you face this week, know that Jesus would go with you, go ahead of you. Offer Himself in that setting. Begin to be the number one presence in that difficulty you face. He would offer even the evil world, the sinful world, peace with God through faith in Christ. Jesus died not only for your sins and mine, but for the sins of the whole world. He's big enough. There's room in Jesus' heart for people around you that you're concerned about and you love. This morning, could you come again to the table, which reminds us of the cross, and stand in the sit in the presence of a holy God. See your sin in light of the scars of Jesus. See the sins of others against you. They're very real and still haunt you in light of the scars of Jesus. And ask for peace with God in your heart and that you might pass on to others. Go to the world with that message. We live in a world that this is a holy week for believers. And many around us need the peace with God and forgiveness with Christ. And only Jesus can bring it to them. perhaps he'd deliver that message through you. Forgive as God forgave you. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts as a gift. Might the Lord give that to us today. Let us pray as we prepare for the Lord's table together. It is a gift from Him to us, and we thank Him for the gift. Let's pray as His people. Thank you, Father, for your love for us. You would come to Jerusalem, called the city of peace, anything but yet you would keep that name as its identity. You'd even begin to call your people the heavenly Jerusalem in the Bible. How we would see ourselves as part of your love, we're amazed. Help us to return to Jerusalem in our hearts this week. We can maybe in our hearts say the words of the song together. At the cross where I first saw the light, the burden of my heart rolled away. Lord, we couldn't weigh the amount of burdens that are carried in by just a dozen or so of us every worship service. But those burdens can be rolled away. Peace with God can be available. The forgiveness of sins, even to those who have hurt. It's there by faith we can receive our sight and then would be joyful all the day. I pray that we'd receive Christ, the gift of His peace and forgiveness. And many would turn and follow you this morning as a thanks to you. We pray, Father, for those who hurt physically among us in our church family who need your care. We remember Bill Buchanan and Mrs. Hanko as they get very near to going home to be with you. Might they sense your love for them. We pray for Pastor Watson. You'd be his strength. Pray for Judy Himmler. Continue healing in her life. And for Jeff Ewing and Carolyn Azevedo as they need your care each day. We pray for Cheryl Perry facing surgery this week. You'd go before her and work that on her behalf. Father, we pray for young people at the retreat and young people here. We thank you for their faith. We ask that they continue to have a hunger for yourself. Thank you that we sense many of them, they just don't want a religious practice. They want Christ. We thank you for that. We pray, Lord, for the British soldiers who were taken captive, that first in their hearts they would feel set free by putting their faith in you. And no one could hold them from that freedom. And then, as a gift, you would have mercy on them, Lord, and set them free from their difficulty. Thank you, Lord, that you love us today and would gather us around your table. Might we be near to you as you want to be near to us. Let your Holy Spirit minister to each heart. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.